Welcome to the Hidden Palace with Sky Blaze.
Good morning, afternoon, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. I'm Grateful, and this is the Hidden Palace here on Radio Sega. Sadly, Skyblaze couldn't make the show tonight for health reasons, but as they didn't want to have you miss another show, I was asked to host instead. Well wishes to Skyblaze, and I hope you feel better soon. Yes, I bet you didn't expect this, did you guys? And now, a very important question for all of you. Where would we be without the internet? Well, for a start, you wouldn't listen to Radio Sega, that's for sure. But obviously with all this, I'm actually referring to gaming, and Sega has been trying to get access to their internet access to their consoles from as early as the Mega Drive and the Genesis in 1990. Starting with the Sega Mega Modem in Japan, or the Telegenesis Modem in the US, it was a modem which plugged into the back of your Model 1 Mega Drive and allowed certain games to gain additional features when connected to the internet. The main feature, of course, being online play. You got games such as GoNet and SanSan, which were versions of Go, which allowed you to play online with other people with the same cartridge. You also had Nikan Sports Pro Yakyu Van, I could pronounce that hopefully correctly somewhere, which visualised real-time baseball data, although you did have to subscribe to the Nikan Sports Van service to get access to this. Hello guys, yes, Brick Gamer, I hope Skyblaze feels better soon too. And hi, Electro Bigaloo, Hybrid Gamer. And poor Skyblaze waving tidily there. Now, one of the more interesting games that you would get with online play is Cyberball, a futuristic American football game that has a neat little trick up its sleeve, or cartridge. If you slot the game into a Japanese Mega Drive, it will display all its text in Japanese. But place the exact same cartridge into a US or European Mega Drive, and it will display it in English. This is because they decided it was really easy just to, you know, instead of making separate cartridges for everything, just to put it all into the one, and then just ship them as necessary in the right cases. The US and the European version sadly does lose the online functionality of it, as it was only designed to function on the Japanese consoles. Now, as I mentioned just a second ago, obviously, the Mega Drive modem was also known as the Telegenesis in the US. While this is true, it never actually got released. The Mega Modem came out in Japan in 1989, with plans to be released for the Telegenesis to be released the year after. But Sega decided to silently cancel that release, with no obvious reason as to why that might be. So, we'll go on to get some music going. First of all, we're going to have Cyberball, the standings track, as requested by Electric Boogaloo. And after this, we're going to have the Nikan Sports Pro Yakyu Van, sound code 89. So, enjoy the tracks, and we'll catch you after the break. Thank you. and we are back. As mentioned before the break, that was Cyberball Standings, as requested by Electro Boogaloo, followed by the Nikan Sports Pro Yakyu Van Soundcode 89. Also, before we carry on, hi AA, II, great for you for joining us today. Now, Sega wasn't against trying something again, so when the Sega Saturn came round, we of course got a modem for that too. In fact, the Saturn modem. This device was released in 1996 in, yep, you guessed it, Japan. And it was a device that you could connect into the cartridge port of the console, that handy little slot on the back of the console. However, to use the base features, you would need the Sega Saturn Internet Volume 1, that came out with the modem itself, or Volume 2, which was released later in 1997. These would allow you to access simple features such as accessing the internet and accessing emails. To play games, though, you would need to purchase Sega Saturn Media cards, which were basically telephone calling cards, which you slotted into the available slot found on the modem itself. These would cost around 2,000 yen, which at the time would be roughly about £10, and would allow you basically a limited amount of time on the game itself. Now, getting onto the games and the software that actually worked with the modem, we'll take a look at Habitat 2. Now, this is the Saturn form of Fujitsu's Worldway virtual world, which they launched in 1995, with the Saturn version coming out in 1996. The game acts very much, well, I say game, it acts very much like a chat room, if anything. But you actually have a physical avatar that, as far as I could work out, you could actually move around the sort of room that you're in. And obviously you'll have human features, and, you know, like a normal human body, and then you'll have those that aren't. So you'll have something with the head of a dog. Or a panda. Oh, Japan. In a lot of ways, it's kind of like a very early version of PlayStation Home, so we could probably add that to the list of, yet again, Sega did it first. The main menu, when you actually log into this, is viewed from a top-down view as though you're looking over an island, with the different chat rooms being villages dotted all over it. Interestingly, the game itself was packaged in two different ways that I could find, apart from just on its own. One was with a Sega Saturn keyboard, which would likely connect into one of the controller ports, and the other way was with a software, an initial bit of software called Pad Nifty, which was an online bulletin board program using Fujitsu's Nifty Serve network. Sadly, both the Worlds Away and the Nifty Serve network services are no longer accessible, as the necessary networks for them closed down in roughly 2006, if not earlier. So, going on from there, we'll listen to a couple more tracks. So sadly, because neither of these I could track down any music for, like Rocking Horse Doo-Doo, no chance. So I've had to just pluck two things out of the air here. So going with the island theme, we've got Magic Knight Ray Earth with Forest of Silence. And just for the whole digital side of things, we'd go with Shadow the Hedgehog Digital Circuit. So I hope you enjoy these two tracks, and we'll catch you again after the break. again was Magic Knight Re-Earth with Forest of Silence, followed by Shadow the Hedgehog Digital Circuit. Just going actually back to the what we'd mentioned earlier, Electric Boogaloo did actually post in the Discord an interesting link that I've just had a little peruse through. Because alongside the Sega Saturn modem, there was also a Netlink internet modem for the US. There was a plan to bring out in Europe, but sadly it became such a flop in the US they decided to go against it in the end. It ran faster than the actual Sega Saturn modem itself, probably because they'd had better chance to improve the technology, but with prospects of them selling over 100,000 of the items, but only selling about 20%, somewhere between 15,000 and 25,000, it didn't look good for, unfortunately, that item. So, looking actually from the software side of things onto, again, the games, we start with Shadows of the Tusk, a multiplayer strategy game released by Hudson Soft in 98, and plays in a similar style to Final Fantasy Tactics with the way that it's viewed and the basic gameplay. Although rather than commanding an increasing army of players, you only have three characters. A cloth-wearing wizard, a knight in plate armour, and a warrior woman in leather. Fights take place on a 5x5 grid, and you move them as far as their stats will allow, facing off against whatever foes that have been summoned against you. So again, you're sort of moving a set number of spaces, choosing your actions, and then initiating whatever attacks you want to do against your opponents. There is a story mode, but with it sadly being entirely in Japanese, I have no clue what's going on. But from what I've seen, there is also a versus mode, so obviously with the internet aspect in mind, you can face off your three against your opponent's three. And you also... start again to where I'm actually brought my lost where I... get a bit about me a second, guys. I've lost where I... lost my place and I'm losing my words. Oh, my God. Yes, now, while it says multiplayer, and I stress multiplayer, which would include more than two in my mind, it only allows two people. So, obviously, one person being on their console and one person being on another. That's all. However, there is one other game that does get a bit more out of the multiplayer aspect of it. And it's actually another Hudson Soft game. And that one is Saturn Bomberman. This one will actually allow you up to four people playing at once, providing that each console has two people playing on it. One of the other interesting notes is the characters you end up playing as part of your team. You'll have your basic Bomberman in black and white, but you'll also then have Kotetsu, not the character from Naruto, is actually a Hudson mascot who's a samurai, and Honey, another Hudson mascot who's a female gun-toting professional bounty hunter, so they say. Your teams are split into red and blue, and then you'll have three human players. In that scenario, you'll have the fourth player being operated by the computer. The maps that you fight on are then randomly selected. There are quite a number of maps, and if you're not already aware, the game itself, if you're just playing on the one console at home, you could in theory get up to 10 people playing it. Yes, 10 people on a Sega Saturn, thanks to the 6-person multi-tap that you could get with it. And you had a lot of extra characters you could play with. I will probably go into that at another point, or Skyblaze will. So, as we finished on the game section, and by moving into the next one, we'll go with some more tracks. So first up, we've managed to locate the intro track for Shadows of the Tusk, which was a pain, let me tell you. And after that, we have Saturn Bomberman, Amusement World. And Electric Boogaloo has told me the Netlink still works. Oh my God. Okay, so yeah, while the Saturn modem itself no longer works, the Netlink still does, which is astounding. Give me a second. I think I saw it mentioned on the thing on here. Where have you gone? It's mentioned I'm using it over VoIP, wasn't it? I know I've seen it somewhere. Never mind. I'll have to have a look at that a bit. But yes, so I say, we'll look into the next two songs. So next we have up Shadow of the Tusk, the intro, and then Saturn Bomberman Amusement World. So have a listen and enjoy. Clear Back. And again, that was Shadows of the Tusk, the intro theme, followed by Saturn Bomberman Amusement World. Now we've covered the Mega Drive, we've covered the Saturn, and finally, and by no means least, we come to the Dreamcast, with the Dreamcast modem. Now, to save us all the heartache, this device was actually attached to the Dreamcast from the very beginning, so you didn't need to buy this device separately. Which is just as well, because it's actually impossible to try and buy one on its own at the time. You might find them now for spare parts, but you wouldn't be able to buy them in the shops, that's for sure. Now, compared to the Mega Drive and the Saturn's combined 27 games and software, the Dreamcast had over 200 games, with some form of online function to them. As such, I won't be able to cover them all here, but we might be able to dip into that game pile at some point for another episode down the line. Now, as may have been mentioned in a previous episode too, while the dial-up service that it used is no longer functioning in a lot of cases, there are some clever tricks that you can pull to try and get it working, such as the DreamPi, which is a Raspberry Pi which will emulate the dial-up service. Or, if you decide you want to be a bit more complex about it, you can connect your Dreamcast to your PC via a 56k modem card that you will somehow find from the deep dark recesses of some sort of tech cupboard somewhere, and then connect your PC to your standard broadband router via Ethernet. You would then need to install a virtual machine onto your PC to then make a bridge between the modem, and after further trunking, all in all, it will then start working. But in all honesty, if you can't bother to go through that, I would highly recommend using the DreamPi. It's going to be far easier for you to do it that way. Which means you can do things such as playing Phantasy Star Online, because there are still servers for that to this day, as far as I'm aware. Speaking of Phantasy Star Online, that's where we'd be going next in terms of our tracks. So, before we go into the chiptune corner, and before we even do the chiptune corner, and before we even play the tracks, BritGamer has posted me a link. Bear with me a second, folks. And apparently, there is an item called Beetle DC Libretto, which is, I hope I pronounced that even anyway correctly, which now apparently has gained modem and PPP support. It leverages DreamcastLive.net, which makes it possible to still play games while the original servers are down. Ooh, that's very useful. So if there are any online games that you want to play, such as Phantasy Star Online, this is also another way to go about doing it. So for those of you already in the Discord chat, could we take a look at that? And if you feel inclined to do so, go ahead and do it, because you'd be missing out otherwise, because it's a fantastic game to play. So, before I was quite gracefully interrupted, we'll be going on to some more tracks. So we have Phantasy Star Online, That the Crazy Program, followed by Power Stone 2, Background Music 6. So enjoy these tracks, and we'll catch you next for the Chiptune Corner. See you in a bit. So that was Phantasy Star Online, The Crazy Program, followed by Power Stone 2, Background Music 6. Now, this week on Chiptune Corner, Skyblaze was wanting to show us some of the 8-bit inspired tracks from the game Nier Automata. Or Automata, or however you'd like to pronounce that. This track is called City Ruins, and is the version of the track that you'll get when you initiate any one of the one of the hacking games with the character 9S, is it? Trying to recall if it's 9S or no, it's 2B and 9S, I'm fairly certain. You can obviously correct me if I'm wrong on the chat there, guys. Also, looking admittedly at how quickly I've gone through this, my apologies for sounding as though I'm rushing through the whole thing. It's obviously my first time doing a full radio show, so you'll have to apologise for that. Well, I'll apologise for that. So I really should have picked some tracks with some longer track times. So, here we have the City Ruins hacking version of the song from Nier Automata. Enjoy, and I shall catch you after the break. Once again, so that was the hacking theme, the hacking track for City Ruins from Nier Automata. Actually quite enjoyed that one. It's quite a nice sort of subtle track, but still has that lovely little chiptune-y sound to it. But yes, unfortunately we have come to the end. Obviously I hope everyone's enjoyed the episode today. Obviously with my fantastic chance of showing off my showcasing my voice once again to you lovely people, because apparently a lot of people enjoyed that the last time I helped out with Skyblaze's episode on Star Wars Day. But yes, I'd like to thank everybody in the chat. That includes II, Brit Gamer, Electric Boogaloo. Was there anybody else? I'm certain there was somebody else in this list in there. Make sure I'm not missing everyone. Brit Gamer, Electric Boogaloo, I think that might be it. Oh, and of course Skyblaze, of course. We can't forget Skyblaze, can we? So yes. Obviously, again, if you have any suggestions, be it for shows that I could do, or shows that obviously you want Skyblaze to, or ideas that you want Skyblaze to take on, please obviously let her know at Twitter, or at Blazing Skies, on Discord at Skyblaze42, or via the Radio Sega Facebook and Twitter. Obviously, up next is going to be Saturday Night Sega. Obviously, you've got a little while to take a break, grab some food, drink, and obviously apologise again for running through this so quickly. So this is what I get for doing this for the first time round, all on my own. It's a bit scary for me. But yes, thank you all very much for listening, and we're going to end this with one of my favourite tracks, and that's going to be All Hail Shadow by Crush 40, because if anybody doesn't know already, it's going to be basically Shadow the Hedgehog is my favourite characters, so I couldn't pass up an opportunity to do this. So here's All Hail Shadow by Crush 40. I hope everyone enjoys, and obviously we'll catch you potentially in the future. Have fun, guys. Bye.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.